Hi there, and welcome to Fantasy Focus Baseball. It's a beautiful Thursday morning, August 19th, 2021. He is Tristan Happy Cockcroft, dominator of all his fantasy leagues. He's even won his football leagues, and they haven't even started yet. Kyle Soppy produces, researches, and guards our galaxy. He is very busy. I'm Eric Carabel, and yes, believe it or not, I still work here. On today's show, the trade deadline in ESPN Fantasy League swiftly approaches. Whom should you trade for? Whom should you not trade for? Honestly, what more does Shohei Ohtani have to do to be the best fantasy baseball option? We'll discuss that probably.
Oh,
Tristan's going to sing. It's going to sing a lot. Fantasy Focused Baseball is presented by LinkedIn Jobs. We'll get to all the trade targets. Would you trade for Shohei Ohtani? Do you have any concerns right now? I don't know how. I'll give you that Tatis is doing something amazing too. All right. But Tatis is a far more bigger injury risk. Ohtani yesterday went 8 innings, hit his 40th home run. I'm ready to declare him, if not the best player in fantasy because of Tatis. I've got him ranked number 2 overall. I do. And I might just do that for next year too. Like, he's not getting hurt. It's the 5th month of the season. But would you trade for him with what the perceived cost would be, which I don't even know what could you trade for right. him right now?
He's untradeable. I mean, the market value in our game, based on what ESPN players perceive, I was just thinking about this morning, is number one, and it's by a good margin. So here's the thing. I went back and I tried to compare some of the preseason ADPs, and everywhere but ours was modest. We're talking 15th roundish, and you raised this question a while ago, and I was thinking in terms of the broad industry that that's what his value was. 15th round. In our game, it was something like 7th or 8th round. So clearly people target the name. They're going to want a lot. They're going to want 2 premium players. No, I wouldn't do it. But I agree with you. I don't think there's any reason to panic that he gets hurt. They've managed him well, 100 innings. That's not outrageous. He could throw 140 with no problem. 40 would be a pretty busy final month. I'm not going to take much out of yesterday's game. It was Detroit. We talked about that Monday. But he's still great. He beats the good teams. I don't know what else to say about him.
I think he and Tatis is the top tier in fantasy baseball right now. They're the number one tier, and no one else is in it. Soto's not in it. Mookie's definitely not. Trout, and he's not playing again this year. DeGrom,
Vlad's either. Close, but not there. He's not the same. He's not
second
quite
tier.
The same.
Soto and I view Soto and Vlad similarly.
Yeah,
and they could win batting titles. They could hit 40 home runs. They're not going to steal a lot of bases.
They're the safe guys. They're the safe. Middle ground right behind.
You want to win your league, they can help you win your league. But Tatis obviously can do whatever he wants. And Ohtani, I mean, because of the pitching angle, not just the pitching angle, there's only like 8 players in baseball with more stolen bases than Ohtani. This is unbelievable what he's doing. It's just unbelievable. I say it on every show, but
your stolen base stat, speaking of that category, was pretty good. We were texting yesterday. That was a good stat. Your Starling Marte.
I don't know the exact number, but just in 2 weeks for Oakland, he is only like 10 players in baseball with more steals for the season. Maybe it's more like 20.
It was 20. Whatever he has in Oakland was more than all the 20 players have, which
he's motivated now. How would you even begin to trade for Ohtani? What would it take? Would it take Vlad in a pitcher? Would it take Freddie Freeman in a pitcher? Would it take Lance Lynn and, you know, Nicholas Castellanos? I don't know how to gauge the worth because we've never seen it. Don't throw Babe Ruth at me. We've never seen this before, ever.
He's not Babe. This is not Babe Ruth.
No.
This is parts of Babe Ruth's career combined into 1 year. Babe Ruth never did that. So we have no right to say that this is Babe Ruth. It's Babe Ruth's career compressed into a year, which is extraordinary and unprecedented. And I don't know how we measure it. As I said, I do think that the perception of ESPN is going to be too high for my tastes. They might, you know, like you might get a response of Vlad and a starter who's in every single turn the rest of the year. Do you think that's reasonable? I do not. I would probably say it needs to be a borderline top 10 kind of guy and then a very useful starting pitcher. I don't think that gets it done. Not in our game.
I mean, Vlad and Lance Lynn would get it done. I mean, Vlad is
I wouldn't
behind.
Do that. Not at all. No
you
way.
Would not, you would not trade that much for him? Or
absolutely
you
not.
No,
and
I wouldn't,
you wouldn't either.
Of course not. I would trade Vlad for him. But I'm interested to see what kind of trades we get. All right, let's move on because there's other stuff going on here. And we mentioned a couple of these names already. So with the trade deadline coming up, would you trade for Mike Trout, Jacob DeGrom, These are the best hitter and the best pitcher, you know, arguably, although Trout, I ranked like eighth or ninth before the season. Do you think either of them play again this year? Would you trade even like, well, anything for them in a redraft format right now?
So DeGrom, let's do that one first. No way. I think he's done. He is one negative step in the recovery process away from the season is over. And what fantasy managers have to understand is that because the Mets consider themselves playoff contenders, they are looking at him from a playoff perspective, getting him ready. For us, we only matter. The only thing that matters are the 6.5 remaining weeks. I don't think he's going to do anything. So absolutely not. Mookie Betts, I actually think I would make a trade for him. Look, I am worried about the repetitive nature of this injury and the fact he could come back and have a setback. He was performing pretty well for a guy who was having that kind of pattern. I'm more worried that he just doesn't give you games than I am that they aren't good when he is healthy. So I think the perceived value is down. Don't you think you could get him for an outside the top 25 price?
I think that's what his price is, though. What is he now? He has 17 home runs and 7 stolen bases in 87 games. So it's a little more than half a season.
Yeah.
So a 30 homer, 15 pace, good batting average. He would have scored 130 runs this year if he'd played every day.
Yeah.
I don't know what his value is. Like I have trouble with that. And I agree with you. Dodgers are a playoff team. They're probably not winning the division, but Scherzer will win the wild card game over the Reds or the Padres. It won't be the Mets or Phillies. Like it seems pretty clear what's happening right now. Atlanta's going to win this division by 10 games. The Mets are nuts if they even let DeGrom throw again.
Yeah.
Man, I mean, like when it comes to Mookie, Bellinger, Yelich, you know, I just,
Yelich is a little different from the other two for me, though. I am genuinely concerned there. This has been now an issue for a year. I mean, not a calendar year, but I mean, take on the calendar from a year ago today. This has been an issue for him. He has not performed like he did the year before.
There's no power at all with Christian Yelich.
Yep.
And a first place team continues to bat him third, even though everybody else in the lineup has a higher slugging percentage. And it's just a little bit weird to me. Like, basically, based on his career, they're batting him in the middle of their lineup, and all he can do is take walks and hit singles. And I'm wondering, like, Adam Duvall? I mean, I'm reaching here. Like, yeah, why wouldn't you? Yeah, but why wouldn't you? Like, you see my point?
Yeah. No, I don't know.
Myers?
That one. I don't know.
Why,
that
wouldn't,
one
you trade, why Braves, wouldn't you trade Yelich for Will Myers or Kyle Schwarber right now? They're playing, they have power.
You're diving into the part-timers pool. There's a great danger in Will Myers based on the construction of the San Diego outfield. There's a great danger with any of the Braves outfielders now based on they're going to get Eddie Rosario back. They're going to have a cluttered situation where these guys do miss time. It matters. You can't disagree that it matters in a mixed league. So I see where you're going with the names.
It doesn't. And
Schwarber's a good example.
Schwarber's going to hit 10 more home runs. Adam Duvall is going to hit 10 more home runs. Even Lourdes Gurriel.
That's true.
Like, Yelich is not going to hit 10 more home runs. He's not going to hit for average. He's not doing anything. So, like, I would trade him for Andrew Vaughn. I would trade him for Max Kepler. Like, I'm not even viewing Yelich as a top 50 outfielder right now. I'm wondering why other people are.
That angles towards needs. If you need the proven number locked in, by all means. But I raised the point that be careful about the guys you're getting involved in, because those players, the arrows are pointing, a couple of those that you mentioned, the arrows are pointing down, a couple others, they are not. It probably isn't for Kepler. He's playing a lot. It probably is not for Schwarber, but he looks like he's going to be the regular DH. Maybe he gets some time in at first base. The Yelich thing that's odd to me is he has the history of the extreme ground balls. We knew that in Miami, but he's in a ballpark that's great for power. And the fact that he's not getting it done and remembering those two missteps do worry me. So you're dead on about that. If you want to cash him in and you can get something better, my take would be, I think you need to raise the bar a little higher. I think you have a right as a Yelich manager to expect a little bit higher than that.
I think Frank Schwindel is going to have more value the final 6 weeks than Christian Yelich. And I think people
You'd
think
never
that's
make
crazy.
That trade. You would never make that trade.
Of course I wouldn't. But Frank Schwindel is going to have more value. So,
then your answer to it should be yes, you're taking that trade. I should tell you I'm giving you Frank Schwindel today.
Who do you think will have more value? Schwindel, Duvall, or Yelich? Isn't Yelich third on your list for the rest of the season?
No. Yelich, Duvall, Schwindel.
What is he? Give me Yelich's numbers for the final 6 weeks then. I just don't understand you then. It's been 4 months. So I don't know what you think is going to change.
The most variable.
Or Cody Bellinger or anybody who is just not getting it done.
The tough part about this is that in season, yes, a player tends to play towards his in-season trend. Next year is the one where the player tends to revert to his career norm. So,
yeah.
Okay. So that's a fair point. And I probably have no right to tell you that I think Yelich bats in the 270s and has a shot at 8, maybe 10 homers and steals a handful of bases. Because I could tell you he could be absolutely useless the rest of the year.
He has 5 home runs in 5 months.
I know. He could, because he's got that raw talent, click and become a borderline MVP votes guy from this point forward. I mean, Cody Bellinger had that one great week all of a sudden. He had, what, five homers in 4 days or something like that?
He's bad pitching, and that's all it was.
There's going to be a lot of bad pitching in that division.
There is. And all right, so let's move on from him then. Schwindel is on the most added list. You wrote about him. Yeah. Lewis Brinson, most added list, same type of thing. People are finally adding Mike Zunino. I wrote about him. I wrote an apology. I don't know if you saw it.
I loved it. The letter form.
It was, you know, like, what are we doing here? I mean, if he's batting 215 and the baseline for catchers is 226, then okay, I'll take it. He's not batting enough to hurt me. Like Hunter Renfro.
He is.
Well, according to my math, he's not. So you disagree with the premise.
According to the player raiders math, he is.
Okay. But he's got my actual league, okay. My season batting average. You saw what I wrote.
I saw what you wrote. I
agree with the premise of that.
No, but the danger with your column is one people should absolutely read about batting average. The problem with that is that you're highlighting where the individual player fits the puzzle piece for your particular roster. And if Zunino is not downgrading you in that category or downgrading your team, it's fine because he's made the adjustments to hit for power. He's hitting fastballs like nothing I've seen before other than that 2017 season. But he is a liability. The player rater says it. I think it's the top 12 catchers he has.
I'm not arguing that.
Right. He has easily the worst weight in terms of that particular category.
He's also fifth among catchers on the player rater for the season. So, like, you can say what you want about how he's killing your team.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because I'm thinking.
But he's not killing your teams.
Well, he's sixth because overnight it changed.
So overnight it changed.
Yeah.
He has almost the same player rater value as the number five guy, Narvez. And he's doing it with a low batting average. So I'm saying, you know what? I'm avoiding guys like Eugenio Suarez. But like, I've come around a little to Joey Gallo types. Joey Gallo bats a lot, but he walks a lot. Zunino doesn't bat a lot. Would I trade for Mike Zunino? I wouldn't trade for any catcher right now. Okay. I would stream it if you don't have one of the top four or five guys.
Right.
I'm just saying, anyway, Frank Schwindel's getting it done. So
Zunino is a guy who now fits where he was an absolute non-factor whatsoever in fantasy. And that has been the high end of his performance, is that he should be rostered everywhere. But it is a liability in that case. Schwindel, you know, the thing that's fascinating about Schwindel is that he's got great contact, but he leans entirely towards power, doesn't have a lot of patience. I don't know how long this goes. Is the streaky and Patrick Wisdom like? And I wrote about Patrick Wisdom in his write-up.
It's the typical Triple A first baseman finally gets an opportunity, Christian Walker types. Mm-hmm. And then for a year or two, they do okay in the major leagues. And Schwindel will probably do that. But he's not, you know, he shouldn't be the starting first baseman for that team. Well, next year the Cubs aren't winning, so maybe he will be. But the point is, like, these guys are a dime a dozen in the minor leagues. You can find plenty of right-handed power. I mean, Bobby Dalbec's going to eventually be that. Plenty of Jesus Aguilar types who just take their time. Yep. And all of a sudden, they become
Aguilar.
Something interesting.
There's a good one.
Luke Voit, Renato Nunez. I mean, they're all the same.
Garrett Jones. Remember, this is the Garrett Jones. The Twins every year would roll out a guy like this, a Triple A crusher who would play first base like that.
Yeah, lefty, but still like the same type of thing. They don't value these people. That's why in my column today about prospects who might get called up to the major leagues, I wrote about a first base prospect that nobody's talking about, Seth Beer, Beer. And I can't understand why Arizona's not playing him. I mean, they'd have to put him on the 40-man, so maybe that's the only reason why. But, you know, there's no question in my mind that Seth Beer could do better than Christian Walker right now. Anyway, other guys you would trade for. Would you trade for Luis Urias of Milwaukee?
No, I'll be honest with you. I haven't checked the day-to-day status on him. He got bumped from the game 2 days ago.
Would you trade for Luis Robert of the White Sox?
That's price dependent. I lean towards yes.
Travis d'Arnaud of Atlanta. Although I wouldn't trade for a catcher, so that's a bad example.
Well, and the other two is they're doing the whole game management kind of thing with him, and it based on his injury history, I don't think that's going to change. I think their best case is they ramp him up to be a regular during the postseason, and even then, I'm not sure it's going to happen.
Michael Conforto, who basically is Yelich right now.
Yeah. Conforto's maddening because all the metrics say he's been among the most unlucky baseball players this season, but at the same time, he's not playing at the skill level of past seasons. I'll lean yes if he's accordingly cheap.
More at bats the rest of the season, Mike Trout or Adalberto Mondesi, or do they tie you and me?
They might well tie you and me. Trout, because I am very worried about the Mondesi setback.
Why would the Angels bring back Trout? Sell tickets?
Good point. Like,
why would they do it? I don't understand.
Reps just to get ready for next year is often cited, but there's no reason to push if there's any question.
Alec Bohm or Ke'Bryan Hayes, Pennsylvania third baseman. Would you trade for either?
I kind of like Hayes. I do.
I know he's not doing anything.
I know he's not. I know he's not. And I gave that warning in the preseason. I think there's something good there.
They'd both be great. They're not. Neither is great.
I thought Bohm would be great and Hayes would take another year.
I thought Bohm would be Castellanos. He's not, although defensively he is. And Hayes... I mean, Alec Bohm is their left fielder next year when they let McCutchen walk, but I'm not going to buy. I don't know what's wrong with him.
Hayes has a lot of talent, though, and he's on a completely unknown team. I would think that the price point is very, very low. Definitely in the corner infield tier in mixed leagues.
We wish the best for Chris Bassett of Oakland, but we think he's done for the regular season, don't we?
I'd have to think so based on the two fractures, yeah.
So I think you cut him. You know, it's a business what we're doing here.
He had a great year, though.
He had a fantastic year. And can you make the case to rank Chris Bassett as a top 20 starting pitcher for 2022? K-rate was there. Everything was there.
Yeah, and I'm going to have to dive into how sustainable that K-rate is. I lean towards no based on his professional career knowledge, but I'll do that deep dive.
Would you trade for Marco Gonzalez, who we've discussed on this show quite a bit? I'm not sure you're aware what he's been doing over the past.
Oh, I am. I've got two shares.
So you finally bought in.
No one wanted him.
I ranked him well this season, and he's now doing exactly what ERA and WHIP are bloated, but not recently. You know, he's pitching really well. Past 60 days, a 3.06 ERA with a 1.17 WHIP. Past 30 days, 1.43 ERA, 3-0. Strikeout rate's never going to be high, but it's good enough. Marco Gonzalez, you should add him if he's still available in your leagues.
Yeah.
Good.
One of those guys who, when he's on, consistently falls in the top 40 fantasy starters, and he's in one of those streaks right now.
Do you trade for Logan Webb? He's now up to 75% rostered in the ESPN League, so if you want him, you'd have to trade for him. It looks legit.
Yeah. He does. And I wrote about him in the preseason that I like some of the adjustments he's made, and they're finally paying off. If you look at the numbers since the All-Star break, sub 2 ERA, he's been outstanding. I think that the asking price is going to be above his true talent, but I'm in on him keeping up a good level of performance. So I guess that's a yes. That's a fence-ish thing, but I think he keeps up production.
We have a third one in this group now. So rank these Gray pitchers for the rest of the season and for next year, if you don't mind. Sonny Gray, John Gray Snow, and Josiah Gray of Washington. Rank them. And would you trade for any of them?
For this year?
For this year and next, because I think it's pretty interesting for next year, too.
Right. This, it'll go Sonny, Josiah, and John. And those two are close. And for next year, I probably would do the same thing. John, where is John Gray playing next year? It comes into play. But I think I'd go Sonny, Josiah, and John.
Philly's probably give him $100 million. Why are we still on the Sonny Gray bandwagon? I'm just asking.
Schedule.
For a friend. Yeah, but like, you know, this is a 4.47 ERA, and he deserves it. It's a high WHIP. It's a high WHIP too. Like, it's like, at what point are we going to stop? I took Aaron Nola out of my top 20, and not just because I root for that team. Like, at what point do we just say it's the fifth month of the season? Like, what are we waiting for to downgrade players who, it's a high BABIP for Sonny Gray, not for Nola, but like, at what point do we just say it ain't happening? This guy's 4 wins in 5 months with a high ERA and whip. I'm wondering what we're doing with Sonny Gray next year. I'm not sure I'm going to rank him my top 25 starting pitcher.
Right, and that's the thing. I'm more aggressive on him now as a trade target than I am for next season. That one is what concerns me. What bothers me about Sonny Gray is that when he is thrown off track, out of his rhythm from injuries, and he has little bumps and bruises, he tends to get very much off track. So there is the possibility he doesn't turn this around. But that said, no, he doesn't deserve the ERA. StatCast says 3.68 expected ERA. That's right in line with last year's 3.90, 3.48 the year before that. He's pitching consistently on all the underlying metrics on here. I'd like to see the command be a little bit better.
Let me ask you a question. I don't think you're going to like it. Mm-hmm. At what point do you say the StatCast numbers don't matter? We're in the 5th month of the season, and a guy is not pitching up to his potential. I mean, it's late August. At what point do we just say, okay, his September is not going to be good? When do you say that then?
When you have the Sonny Gray's equivalent of the Rockies hitter remaining schedule. But the Reds do not have that. They have the opposite of that. They have not the most favorable one, but they have a good one for starting pitchers. It's a soft, cozy one. We talked about this with Vladimir Gutierrez. Well, I'm not even a big fan of Gutierrez from a skills standpoint. Gray is a superior pitcher talent-wise. So capitalize on that schedule. I am going to say I do think those should come a little bit closer in line. Maybe he's not top 15 caliber at the high end, but I think he's in for every start for you.
I mean, I watch every Aaron Nola start, okay? And yes, I'm aware that the Phillies have the easiest schedule remaining, even though they're losing to Arizona every night now. So like it doesn't matter, but there's nothing changing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like as a fantasy analyst, and we do this in football every week, we overrate everything that happens in football. Mm-hmm. In baseball, when you've got 4 months of data, you know, I'm not saying, you know, like we trust all of it, but when guys like Nola and Bellinger are just not getting it done, Yelich not getting it done for whatever reason, I can't tell you that I think it's going to change for the final 6 weeks. I can't do that anymore.
And
I'm
that's
done.
Fair. Yeah. It's absolutely fair. I might be taking on some real bad stat baggage with Sonny Gray, but you got to take some chances here. And there are a lot of people in that situation who need to make a big push in the standings. I'm going to take the chance that this does narrow.
Okay. All right. Let's move on now. We can talk about Frank Schwindel all of September when he's a top 10 first baseman,
The contact rate is the driving force there. I told you about how I tried to make trade for him and got shot down. So.
Frank Schwindel is going to have a better final 6 weeks than Anthony Rizzo, the guy he replaced.
No, that's
Luke Voit.
That's not happening.
Why is that not happening?
Schwindel's not exceeding Rizzo. Mm-mm.
Why? Tell me what you see Rizzo's in Anthony Rizzo.
In New York so far, he's looked great. He's looked great in the games he had.
Well, we'll see. He's got a shot.
Have you seen any of the ones for the Yanks?
I've seen them. I'm just saying, like, it's the 5th month of the season, and the guy's been doing, you know, very little.
I'll happily put anything on the line of Anthony Rizzo versus Frank Schwindel from this point to the end of the year. I happily would. That's not, no.
You should. 99% of people should.
Yeah.
You know what? There's no guarantees.
I love the challenge here, though. I mean, it's not an unfair comparison to make, but give me Rizzo. Voit's a different story.
Luke Voit ain't very happy, and he has a right to be not happy.
What do
it's
you
not
think
like
about?
They traded? It's not like they traded for Mike Trout or Ohtani here. Okay, they traded for a guy who's having a terrible season and is going to play over him.
Voit's a very good fit with where he landed, though. And where how this plays out matters. How do you see this playing out? I know my feeling on it. I don't know what your feeling is on it.
Well, they're not going to play Stanton in the outfield. Why would they?
They should. They absolutely should.
I don't think they should because they're winning now, and they're winning in part because I think they have good outfield defense. And why would you put Stanton out there and risk him getting hurt? So to me, it just seems like, you know, only something bad can happen. You know, I don't know. Yeah.
I think you got to maximize your lineup. I think the Yanks have to go for the kill. That's my take.
I don't think they have to right now because they're beating everybody the way they're doing it. You know, so
I don't know that's going to play out against Tampa, but we'll see.
Let's get you singing now. Combo meals. Go for it.
It's a combo meal. Do, 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 do. Combo. Do, 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 do. It's a combo meal. Home run plus steal. These I got to get a tune for that one. I got to like improve the tune, don't I?
No, I think you're doing it great just the way it is. People are tuning in, not for me or Kyle. They're tuning in for your singing.
For the tunes.
They don't care about Logan Webb or Christian Yelich. They just care about you singing. I have to read this, though. These players are making moves earlier this week, and Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports. Since our last show, there were three combo meals, a home run and a steal. Luis Robert of the White Sox looks fine to me. Bradley Zimmer of Cleveland actually looks pretty good right now. And Jonathan Villar never looks good, but he did have a combo meal, and they keep playing him, and they're going to end up with a sub-500 record. It's a very interesting team there. They're all going to blame it on
him. Counting stat guy. Classic.
Yeah, he's not a good baseball player.
Nope.
But he can accumulate numbers.
Plays a lot of places, and he handles the job when you need him. And that's a good thing. It's a skill in its own right, but
yeah, give him credit. I mean, you know, he does what he does, and it's not like they have anything better. You know, like I wrote about the other day, Eugenio Suarez, like Cincinnati has nothing else. I mean, they can play Moustakas there, but they're not going to sit Suarez. They don't want to sit him, even though he's making a million outs, you know. But with VR, I mean, you know, J.D. Davis isn't exactly Brooks Robinson at the hot corner. So
yeah,
VR has 14 homers and 10 steals, 321 on base, which is about his career mark. He is what he is at this point, a journeyman. Let's move on now. Talk closers. Time for you to sing again.
It's the closer carousel.
All right. On since I did this with Schwindel and went crazy, do you if I told you that David Robertson were to lead the Tampa Bay Rays in saves the final 6 weeks, would that be crazy?
No. And it's crazy that I'm saying no. It's absolutely crazy, but welcome to I just had a debate with friends of mine last night about the Tampa Bay bullpen and how, you know, neither of them have heard of any of the pitchers who are pitching for the Rays bullpen right now. All of their name players are either on the injured list or traded to other organizations, and yet they're still getting it done. I don't want any part of them for fantasy, do you? I'm not adding Robertson.
They don't have on their active roster anyone with a Tampa save this month. That's my favorite stat.
It's unbelievable. They have and they're going to challenge last year's number of different pitchers getting a save.
And you know what? The Dodgers are doing the same thing for setup man. They're just picking up people that everyone else is dumping and saying, well, let's give it a shot, you know, and see what happens. It's amazing to me.
And yet Blake Treinen still has a good number of holds. That's what's amazing to me.
So not like pure setup men, but like fifth, sixth, seventh inning guys.
They've rotated
like
Evan Marshall types.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's like they're just like playing a different game, Tampa Bay and Los Angeles. So
I
like,
love it.
We can do whatever we want, and it's not going to hurt us. And I give them a lot of credit for that.
I admire what Tampa has done with this pitching staff, and I still say it's a travesty every year Kevin Cash doesn't win Manager of the Year. But that's me.
It's going to be the old guy in Chicago. But, you know, I don't think he deserves it. I agree with you. I think it should be Kevin Cash.
The fact he's gotten those pitchers to buy into this.
It's amazing. And they still haven't called up Shane Baz. And I guess they're waiting until September to do it. What else do we want to talk about? All right. So Yankees, Chad Green. I thought that on Monday when I said it. Johnny Lasagna got a save. But they got their lefty closer back. So he will get most of the saves. Although I bet they take it easy on him to some degree.
Did last night.
Yeah.
He didn't look all that great, so they yanked him from that, and it turned into a save opportunity for Lucas Lucci. that guy.
Something's wrong with him. Something's wrong with Chapman, obviously, right?
Yeah.
I would not trade for him right now. We didn't talk any closers in the buy or sell, you know, portion of today's show. I would not be trading for him.
Listeners have noticed that the Yankee bullpen has come up in the closer carousel now on four consecutive shows.
We've had
a different name, and not once have I said, oh, yeah, Chapman's the guy I wanted for the rest of the year. There's a reason for that.
You're still rostering Brad Hand. You're just making a mistake. I don't know why. I mean, Toronto's traded for him because they needed help, okay? But they still need help. They shouldn't be using him. He looks terrible.
Should I be ashamed that I have a league where I've held him because if you lose him, he's gone for good? It's an NL only. And well, I should let him go.
I guess you're assuming he gets saved next season, but he's pitching so poorly right now. Who would give him a closing job?
Oh, I know. I don't know that I still question whether he was fit for it at the past offseason. There's really no doubt to me now. It doesn't look good. He's had a couple of really ugly games that I've seen here. I don't know. It's some sort of mental thing where when a player switches leagues, I have a very hard time letting them go, knowing that they are forever vacated from the pool. It's probably a failing of mine.
I can't find a whole lot to talk about here. I mean, Alex Reyes isn't losing his
Royals
role. Barlow's clearly their closer right now.
Brent's got Brent's is beginning a lot of eighth, and he got the night off one, so it could be a little combo-ish. But I agree with you, Barlow's the one to roster.
White Sox, clearly it's still Liam.
Very clearly,
Michael Givens, I think, is Cincinnati's guy. There is no Cubs guy. There's no Orioles guy.
Keep an eye on Michael Lorenzen, however, but you're right on Givens. I agree.
I don't know at what point Atlanta has to go to one of these right-handers, don't they? I mean, Will Smith looks awful.
He's got a couple. He's got a couple of decent outings. I am a little surprised because he has had a rocky couple of weeks.
He's had a very rocky couple of weeks, and Richard Rodriguez and Chris Martin are just sitting there waiting. They Tyler Matzek, too.
They have not used Rodriguez the way I expected. I thought he'd be the primary eighth inning guy. Has not been that.
Nope, it's been Martin.
Yep.
And Matzek is pitching great. Mm-hmm. I don't see Alex Colome still Minnesota's guy. Blew it the other day, but then he's still their guy.
Ugly out of that game. I was I was very curious to see where he stood on the active Dirty Fuentes leaders. Not up there. He's not the leader.
And as we bring in our friend here, we have to talk about what the Giants did. I've never seen anything like that before. And I want to ask you, Tristan, first place team.
Yeah.
Okay. Like we said, Tampa and Dodgers are just bringing anybody and everybody, and Giants did it too. They brought in Tyler Chatwood, and then they let him lose the game.
Yeah.
And they let him make the final out. I've never seen anything like that before. I may Gabe didn't have anybody else to use, but that's who you use? Are these bullpens so depleted that they're just picking up guys off the street?
So the Giants have been leaning really heavily on Rodgers and McGee, and McGee has had a couple of shaky outings over the past week. I'm wondering whether there is some fatigue going. I remember Jake McGee's had some injury issues over the past half decade, so maybe. I don't know. That was up.
DeSclafani was out after an inning, but still.
And how you let him bat, too?
There was nobody left.
Get a starting pitcher who's got experience batting instead.
Well, he has experience. He played in Colorado. Played in the
reliever. He hasn't batted regularly. And
that wasn't to like rip Kyle. I can't believe that actually happened. I'm watching the game and thinking, is this actually happening?
I know.
He joined the team that day.
Yeah.
That day, and starting him with a guy on base feels like an accident waiting to happen. Like, I'm as pro Chatwood as anybody. When you're putting somebody on base before he even gets on the bump, that feels like a problem.
How many lefties did he have due up there, too? I can't even remember what
it wasn't even the first inning that he blew it. It was the second inning.
Yeah, because the other was, and putting the updated stats in there, he's got a monstrous, at least the grade here, a monstrous platoon
spot. Oh, it was like, basically Gabe was saying, I don't care if I win this game or not. Kyle's got trivia and hash browns. Let's hear it.
That we do. The trivia. I want you to name for me in a points league, what is the one team in baseball that has not one, not two, but three hitters with at least 330 fantasy points on the year?
Three hitters?
Three hitters, 330 or more points. One team has three guys that have done it. I want you to tell me who it is. After we get to these hash browns, Frankie wants to keep the head-to-head points talk going. He's a lock for the playoffs. He wants to know if there's any widely available starting pitchers he can pick up now, hang on to, invest, and hopefully pay dividends come September.
Well, the injured guys know, right? I mean, there's no – I mean, first of all, nobody's dumping DeGrom, but – I mean, young people – I'm trying to think of somebody coming back from injury that's interesting to me, and I can't – nobody's coming to mind. Or somebody who's struggling, like if they're struggling now, why wouldn't they be struggling in September? So
I hate to say read our columns is one way to do that because we've been profiling a lot of players that you could add for things. But you want the central pitchers, I think, where you can get them. And there's a good amount of availability, but the schedules are very good in the central.
I mean, you don't want to add like Griffin Jacks or Eric Lauer, do you? I don't.
No, but Bailey Ober was one that I wrote
a
little profile of. And I don't know how high that ceiling is. It's just interesting statistically.
Okay.
See who else is on here.
I mean, there's nothing on the most added drop list that.
Where do you stand on Miles Michaelis' return?
I don't.
Don't stand at all?
No, why would I? Like, it's a 500 team. Division's over. Although San Diego is allowing the wild card now to be interesting. Basically, I think the Phillies and Mets only shot. Cardinals only shot would be the wild card.
Mm-hmm.
Cincinnati, obviously. But like Michaelis hasn't pitched, and we're just going to all of a sudden. I mean, if you add in Stash, go ahead. He probably pitches more than DeGrom the rest of the way. But no, it's not like he was a strikeout guy to start with. I would say no.
Yeah. I'm just trying to find candidates who are out there that might have a relatively high ceiling. And I'm looking just at the Central, which probably makes it pretty tough.
I mean, this is going to be a rough month for pitchers, September.
Oh, where do you stand on Huascar Inoa?
He looked good against a bad offense. I'll give him that.
Yeah, it was a great matchup. He's got the Yankees at home next, so we'll see how he does in that.
Don't like that, but I mean,
they won't have the DH.
No, but Atlanta's going to win that division by 10 games. So at some point, they'll be able to just do whatever they want in by mid-September. I mean, they are. They're competing with 500 teams.
So the guy,
the guy that
I scratched from my column that I wanted to write up, Tanner Houck. Where do you stand on Houck?
You know what? Boston keeps telling us how they feel about him by demoting him.
You're going to say,
oh, he'll be back in a week. Yeah, but he's not there right now.
It's roster manipulation through and through. It couldn't be more transparent. They've had double headers with 27th man. They've had days off that perfectly align the 10 days. They're playing perfect. It's like a fiddle the way they're doing that schedule.
I see that, but they also aren't letting him pitch enough, like deep enough into games.
He wasn't that effective in the Yankee game.
No, he looked terrible in the Yankee game, and that's because it was the Yankee lineup. But that's not the, he never even goes five innings. I mean, the problem I have with Tanner Houck is they're treating him as, who's the guy who was at the tip of my tongue? Like they're treating him like Blake Snell. They're like without the walks.
Yeah.
They never let him go five innings ever. He's never going to win. Right. He doesn't have a win. And the reason he doesn't have a win is because they never let him go deep enough into the game. So no, I'm out on Tanner Houck. I mean, next year I might be in, but tell me I'm wrong. I mean, like he goes four or five effective innings, doesn't give up homers, strikes people out. And he's done.
Where wins matter, that comes hugely into play. So traditional roto, yeah. But I like what he's been giving other than the Yankee game. And the skills have shown this, including in the minors, in that amount that he does deliver. I like him. I think he's better than Ober. I think he's a definitively better pitcher than Ober.
But at some point, let him throw 90 pitches six innings. They're not going to this year.
Yeah, the Red Sox are in a curious place. Where does their season head going into the final 6 weeks? I would have thought 3 weeks ago that they're using him as a multi-inning reliever for the playoffs, so they're getting him ready for that role. They might actually need him to take over for one of these other struggling guys. That's why they bumped Richards and Martin Perez to the bullpen.
Richards is bad.
He was great.
The game was kind of over, even though it was only three runs, but like, yeah, that's a tough whip. Okay, next.
Well, you guys mentioned Inoa. Let's just keep it right there. Nicholas wants to know if he's worth an ad the rest of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I don't have him ranked as a top 50 starter, but the way he's pitching, he never gets lit.
So he was he was a candidate on the list, too.
I don't know how you can take Houck over Inoa. I mean, they let Inoa pitch.
Yeah, I can't. And he's rostered in more. I mean, if we're giving the advice that can be utilized by somebody doing a pickup, Houck is much more likely to be out there than Inoa. But I agree with you. Yeah, Inoa, not by leaps and bounds, but it's Inoa here.
I think it is leaps and bounds. If you know, in a points league, yes, you can help by not getting wins. But in a roto league, which is my thing, if you're only going four in the third innings, you can't help me.
Okay. Mike wants to know if you're putting your money where your mouth is. We talked a lot about Christian Yelich earlier in the show. Is he a must roster player in redraft leagues with shallow benches right now?
No, he's not. And I know crazy? You know what? I know Tristan's going to take me apart here, but nothing's changing. There's nothing in the last 3 weeks that's changing. The only thing is they bat him third, so he's going to score runs. He's going to knock in some runs just by being there. He had a couple doubles in a game earlier in the week, I think. He's not stealing bases either. He looks hurt. His back is hurt. It depends who you're picking. Like, look, if I was actually in a place to add Frank Schwindel and cut Yelich, I probably wouldn't be able to do it. But if you ask me who's going to have more value the rest of the season, I'm telling you it's Schwindel. So I should put my money where my mouth is and do it. But if push came to shove, I couldn't. But I should. You understand what I'm saying, Kyle? Like
I do. I'm trying
to dichotomy there. It's like,
would you make that? I'm trying to think what situation you'd have to be in your league to make that move. Would you make that move if you were chasing? like chasing a top team, you try to target some upside, or
you're locking in lesser stats. You have to shoot for the moon if you are playing catch up.
But you're not locking in lesser stats, Tristan. You're not.
Who then? Who's the guy? Tell the drop for what? What? It's always what?
Yeah, but
give me the name.
Frank Schwindel is playing better than Christian Yelich. Yes, I know it sounds ridiculous, but in 2 weeks, he has as many homers for the season as Yelich does for the season. And I'm telling you, I don't know if I could do it. And obviously he's not going to 329. He could bat 229.
But you have to do it. This is the decision time. This is the point. It's the critical juncture at which you have to make the decision. Are you cutting Christian Yelich for Frank Schwindel?
I'd lose my job if I said yes. But
I don't
know
think this is nuts. I really don't. I think this is a perfectly legitimate strategy, is that maybe that is the way to go.
I would trade Yelich for a draft pick or a closer right now and then pick up Schwindel to fill his hitting spot. That's what I would probably try to do. I would say, hey, take on Yelich, see what happens. And I would just give him away for Alex Colomé. But I'm telling you, the rest of the season, I have no reason to believe that Yelich will outperform Schwindel. And I'm just using them both as examples. Or Bellinger, you know.
I would actually term that the hedge play, but I don't have a problem with it. I have done that before. In my keeper leagues, I have done that. Played the hedge where I think the other guy can provide you the same stats.
It's all justification. It's all bias and justification, which is silly. We shouldn't.
Well, what is that? Here's a good way of putting it. The ceilings of these two players, because that's all
can't
that
compare.
Matters.
Can't compare. Wait, but it's not all that matters.
It is. It's absolutely all that matters. It's the only way you're catching up. What is Schwindel's ceiling for the rest of the year?
It's basically Patrick Wisdom's ceiling are similar. They're gonna hit for some power. Okay, they're not gonna hit for batting average. They're gonna be Reese Hoskins, but all three of those guys are going to outperform Yelich if Yelich doesn't change what he's doing, and he's not. Right. He's not showing any signs whatsoever. So yes, I would tell you that Wisdom and Schwindel and Reese Hoskins and Bobby Bradley, if he comes back tomorrow, they're all going to hit more home runs than Christian Yelich. Now that may not be the only category you need, but and look, on next show, I'll be embarrassed when Yelich has a two-homer game on Saturday. But
I don't
happening.
We're much more on the same page than we think here. I don't think you're wrong. And I am worried exactly what you said, is that he might be playing hurt and we don't know the extent of the things. And the three things I can say in his favor are that the discipline numbers are still very much in track. He's got nearly a 50% hard hit rate and he's upper 6th percentile and max exit velocity. That means when he's having the elite outcomes, they are still to the level of the MVP player. But in between those, it's been a disaster.
So it's a hard ground ball to second base.
I think you're right. I think you might be right. He is not playing at close to 100%, and that's a problem.
Obvious. I mean,
not close. Like, what if he's playing at 70%?
He's not even there. They're basically, if they were out of the playoffs, he'd be Mike Trout right now. I'm telling you right now, if they had a 500 record, he'd be sitting out just like Trout. All right.
If there's a team in a keeper league in the running for a title that has Yelich right now, mm-hmm. and you're out of the standings, do you trade for him, understanding? Yeah.
Yeah, in a keeper league, I think he bounces back next year. Maybe not to top 10 outfielder status, but we're not talking about a keeper. We're talking about a redraft format.
Right.
But
in a keeper league, yes. Yelich and Bellinger are not going to be among my, I don't want to say this, top 10 outfielders next year in my rankings. I don't think so.
It's loaded.
But it might not be. It's a good position at the top. Yeah.
Cedric Mullins or Christian Yelich next year. Call me crazy. I'm taking Mullins. Okay. And you will call me crazy on that. But why? Why would you?
I'm going to want to think about that before I declare something that extreme.
There's nothing in Cedric Mullins' profile that tells me that this is a fluke. Nothing whatsoever. He's a fourth or fifth round pick next year. I don't understand why he wouldn't be. He's ahead of Witt. Like, Witt has no power now. He's older. Like, Cedric Mullins, if not for Ohtani, would be the fantasy MVP of the 2021 season. All right.
In week one, I'll tell you. So
we're
by
beating
the way,
this horse until it's long gone.
The horse deserves to get beaten here. Fourth place, keeper league. I have Yelich.
I keep him. Any keeper league, I keep him.
Then
any keeper then like is not. We're not talking.
Then by your discussion, I am done.
Well,
are we going with the? I need to sit on the upside. I'm talking about. It's one or the other. See, this
you
is
should,
my point.
I see your point with sitting on upside, but it ain't happening.
I got to cash him in because I'm not. I have no chance of winning.
Cody Bellinger's batting eighth by his manager. stop waiting for Bellinger and Yelich to turn their seasons around. They can't do it. They're not healthy.
That's valuable.
So then I should trade them.
I think you should. Yes.
Perhaps
not for Frank Schwindle.
Well,
or Wasco.
Oh, I know in that league I can get more than Frank Schwindle. Fortunately,
you could get a lot in the keeper league, and you should get a lot in the keeper league. Man, conversation got out of hand.
No, it's a good conversation though. I think it's valuable because a lot of teams have Yelich. It's not like
but I keep putting myself in situations where only
you
I
do
can look bad.
Yeah, yeah.
The only person of the three of us who can look bad here is me. That's it.
I actually
five months into the season, I don't look bad.
I actually don't think that's remotely true. I think you potentially have me over a barrel here. And I do, as a guy, I just said that I have Yelich in a keeper league. These are relevant debates, I think.
I very much agree.
This might blow up badly in my face. I mean, Yelich could hit .210 with two homers
the rest of the year. It wouldn't, because 98% of people agree with you. So it can't blow up in your face. It can only blow up in mine.
I'm just as responsible for causing people to believe that that's the right outcome instead of yours. That's the point. You are raising a question that needs to be raised to people.
What's next, please?
Last question, then we'll get back to trivia. Pick one name of these two over the next 13 months. You got to finish this season and through all of next season. Josh Bell, Luke Voit. Who you got?
Voit. Rizzo's Boston's first base. Well, no, because they have Cassis. Rizzo's not coming back. I think Luke Voit. Although, can't Voit leave?
Rizzo could come back. I don't know if it matters.
I don't think they can afford him.
Yeah. Why is that You're funny? A funny guy.
He's not going to take $5 million a year. He wants 15 a year. Why would the Yankees pay for a 3-year deal for Rizzo?
No, I know it's from the logic of it, but I think the Yankees can afford him by the definition of
they can afford him, but they're like, yes, of course, obviously they can afford to do it, but they don't want to go over the tax,
right?
I mean, look, Tampa Bay and Baltimore can afford to pay for players. They don't want to.
Right.
Okay? There's a difference here.
Yeah.
Joe Sheehan wrote about this today, and he's dead on. These owners, they can spend the money.
Yeah.
They choose not to spend the money. And the way baseball is foolishly constructed, they don't have to spend the money. But my point here is this.
Yeah.
Luke Voit is better than Josh Bell. Josh Bell is an average first baseman, a .250 hitter with 25 home runs. You can get that anywhere. I think Luke Voit can do better than that. You disagree.
I'm going to reply to that with what he said, because I think you're right. And the only thing I hesitate on Voit is, where does he play and what is his role next year? If the Yankees brought back Rizzo, does he wind up in a terrible place to play? That's the only thing I'm worried about. And I'm not that worried about it.
All right.
Alrighty. I like that. That was a good question segment. You guys did well. We're going to get back to trivia here. There's 16 hitters in the big leagues with at least 330 points in a points league. Three of them play for the same team. If you want to name the player, sure, but what team is that?
I have two guesses, and I think one of them is definitely right.
Okay. Tristan, what do you have your list down to?
I have only two guesses.
What kills me is I so want this to be the Milwaukee Brewers, but they do not have the third player. So
I have two guesses, and it's neither, though. It's not Milwaukee.
No, but I'm saying that the Brewers have two guys I'm pretty sure are there that nobody would have guessed by any means would get to there by this point. Garcia and Adamas.
I don't think Adamas has that many, does he?
Adamas has a lot more points than people realize he does.
I don't think he has 330.
He might not have 330, but he's probably close.
All right, so is that your guess?
No.
He gets first guess because Eric gets them all right.
Eric's good at this. Let him go first.
I know. That's why he shouldn't get first guess.
He knows he
has the right answer.
I know it's one of these teams.
So
I don't want to say that sounds cocky and wrong.
Take one of them. Which one do you think it is?
It's got to be either San Diego or Toronto.
Okay, confirmed it is one of those.
Tristan, nope.
Tristan gets a pick. Now it was phone a friend. You've numbered it down to two. Tristan gets one of them.
Should I be the idiot who picks the other one that wasn't mentioned as the 50-50?
You can do whatever you want. These two teams, one team has three in the top 15, the other has three in the top 17. So, I mean, Eric was obviously right on the
– I mean, right, the only question here
is – can the Padres have a Tatis, Cronenworth, and
Machado?
No, and Machado.
And then Bichette, Teoscar, Vlad. The only question is one of them falls a little bit short.
Yeah, Teoscar I don't think has the walks or the doubles to get to 330.
I'll say San Diego then, because I know Jake Cronenworth has it.
This is interesting. Cronenworth is why I asked the question. he does with Machado. They are 12, 14, 15. The Padres are the correct answer.
Yeah.
The Blue Jays
have who?
You had the wrong name, Eric.
Oh, it's Semien. Semien, not that.
Semien. Oh, yeah.
That is one. Semien, 7, and Bichette, 17.
So Bichette misses it. And Teoscar doesn't walk. So
Teoscar's at what number?
30, maybe? I love Jay Cronenworth. I do.
Yeah, Cronenworth. I do too. An amazing year.
Yeah. Teoscar's at 35, 35th. He's at 286.
Yeah. I overestimated his walks. But okay. That was a good trivia question.
Yeah.
That was a good answer.
And Jake's got more points than Machado. And the same.
No, he's two behind.
All right.
Where does Kyle give me the two Milwaukee guys I mentioned? Where
either one of them are.
Yeah, I want to sing their praises because points leagues, they've been a lot better than you think they have.
Absolutely.
259 and 257, top 65 among hitters.
Okay.
I mean, it's kind of hard to believe Milwaukee's doing this. Basically, they have three great starting pitchers and two great relief pitchers, and they're going to win the World Series the way Washington did a couple years ago just by using that. It's a smart manager. They don't have to hit.
They have three amazing starters and the best closer in the game.
And Devin Williams is a monster right now.
And Devin Williams, yeah.
And Brent Suter can pitch every day. Milwaukee, nobody's going to pick Milwaukee to win the World Series. Milwaukee can beat the Dodgers with three great starting pitchers. They can match up with their starting pitchers. They have a better bullpen. They can't hit like them, but on any given day, their imports, Escobar and Adames, I don't know why you're making a face.
Because
Milwaukee's going to be a tough.
The only thing, timely.
Unless Peralta's hurt.
Right. But, you know, that's what I was going to ask you, the Peralta thing. I
left the game yesterday, but I mean, to me, the dark horse to win it all is Milwaukee.
Yeah, I agree. Peralta better be okay. You know, I'm a huge fan.
I mean, you know, who's the game two starter for the Yankees when they're in the playoffs? Like, Milwaukee's got three amazing starters.
Game two, Montgomery.
Okay. You feeling good about that?
No. I'm just saying I'm pretty sure it is Montgomery.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this when I was taking a drive earlier this morning, that would Luis Severino come back in time and actually factor in the Yankees rotation? They have not been, they've been known to do this. A guy who makes like two regular season starts winds up starting like game one or two of a playoff series.
Well, if he's your best option. I mean, Gerrit Cole and Max Scherzer may have to start the two wildcard games.
Yeah.
No, I'm not giving up on either of those teams winning the division, okay? I mean, Tampa could still lose it. Giants could still lose it. But when Gerrit Cole and Max Scherzer start game one, and the Dodgers have far more pitching depth than the Yankees there. We have 6 weeks to discuss them.
More likely, I just think it's really interesting. More likely stuck there, Dodgers or Yankees in the wild card game?
I think more likely actually is the Dodgers.
I think it's the Yankees, but I see your point.
What the Dodgers are doing, like, they're not going to play Mookie every day. Nothing's changing with Max Muncy's carrying their offense. Max Muncy and Turner. It's not the offense people realize. Gavin Lux is giving them nothing.
Yeah. I just have a little more faith in, well, the Dodgers rotation depth. I shouldn't even say the word depth on that team.
Who knows when Kershaw pitches again?
You could swing me to the Dodgers pretty easily here. I'll change. Yeah.
It's going to be great. The playoffs are going to be so much fun. And really, September should be a lot of fun, too, because somebody out of the Yankees or Red Sox might miss it. Oakland, I mean, losing Bassett's a big deal. I mean, you can't replace him with Blackburn or Dalton Jeffries. Like, that stinks, an injury like that. Anyway, one last thing I wanted to point out. This is our friend in one of our leagues who has a wall of baseball cards. You know who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Do I wish I had an empty wall where I could just put, like normal commons baseball cards from the 70s and 80s. And he covered his wall. It had to be 1,000 players there. And good for Jason. That is awesome. He sent it out in an email to our league. And I was like, I am so jealous. I don't know if he still listens to the show or not. Maybe not because, you know, because he likes Mondesi and we don't. But I wish I had a wall like that with just commons baseball cards.
We talk Mondesi plenty. Don't worry. He's all good.
Too much. We're done for today. We hope that you all have a great weekend. We thank you for listening for the Fantasy Focus Baseball Podcast. Please listen to our friends at the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. You know football season's coming. You know you're going to play. But they do a show every day, and they do lots of other stuff. There was a marathon this week. And awesome stuff from our friends on the football show and also our friend Baseball Today show with Buster. And he has our friend Davey on once in a while. We're going to continue to go twice a week until they tell us not to. So for Tristan, for Kyle, for Tyler Chatwood, for Mookie, for Christian Yelich, who I actually have in an important league, and I'd like him to start hitting.
Please. Next year,
he's going to actually bat eighth on my sim team next year. He's going to bat eighth on my sim team.
I know.
Anyway,
oh God.
I'm Eric. Have an awesome weekend.